This morning's second public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And as I turn there, remember that chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, maybe 17, were all uttered by Jesus in that upper room during that time frame when he and the apostles were observing the Passover, and then Jesus transitions with the Passover into the Lord's Supper. And one of the things in John's Gospel only, you're going to find this only in John's Gospel, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus opens the veil to introduce the Holy Spirit who would come and his impact in ministry on the church and you and I. All right? This is the sanctuary of Jesus divulging the third member of the Godhead. All right? Verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So notice the relationship. Vine and the husbandman. The husbandman is the one who's responsible to take care of the field. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You got the pruning. Now, what does that mean when it comes to a child of God? When Jesus says that the Father is going to prune in order for fruit to be born or more fruit, my understanding is that there are certain plants, like even roses. If you want roses to come back the next year with full, you know, blossoming blooms, don't you cut it back? It's called pruning. You prune back some of the dead branches because they're no longer productive. They're a hindrance to the part of the tree that's still alive. So what does God prune or take away from you and I to make us become more fruitful? Our sins, the parts that ought not to be there. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So Jesus uses the concept of a washing. He says that you are my disciples. Now remember, Judas has left to do whatever. So now you're down to just the 11 apostles who were truly saved. And he says to them, you are truly clean. And I can say to you and I, if you are saved, you are truly clean. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. If you tear off the branch from the vine is still there, it's alive, but the branch has no life in it no more, and the branch becomes what? Dies, it's dry, it's useless, and it's easy to be broken. You just simply take it and throw it in the fire to make heat. So you have to abide, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. So in this parable, God is the owner of the field. And you and I as Christians are branches. Jesus is the solitary vine that's in the ground, growing and budding with sons and daughters of his. We are connected to him. And you are going to be fruitful in proportion to how you abide in Christ. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Do you want to be a fruitful believer? And again, I'm not saying that you have to be like Pastor Bob or you have to be like Billy Bob. You have to be you. You do not judge. Let me say this right out of the bat. You do not judge your spirituality by another believer. You don't do that. Because if you want to be like that believer, are you going to also assume his faults and his sins as well? No. Jesus is the yardstick. Jesus is the ruler. You and I are to critique ourselves, not by ourselves, but by Christ. He says, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear fruit. Verse 6, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they burn. A dead branch, beloved, serves no purpose, but hey, throw it in the furnace, I can either get warm or I can cook on it. If you abide in me, here it comes, and my words abide in you. And so it's my responsibility as a pastor to give you as much of this book as I humanly can, to feed you, to nurture you. That's what my calling is. I love you, but I'm not here to entertain people. I'm here to get the word into your heart. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice your prayer life. How effective is your prayer life going to be? Well, if I'm not abiding in Christ as I should, then my prayer life basically hits a wall. My prayers are stale. They go no higher than the ceiling. Why? Because I'm not abiding in Christ. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now let that sink. As the Father has loved his Son, Jesus in turn loves each and every one of you to the same degree that the Father loves his Son. Question: to what degree does the Father love his Son? A whole lot. Well, what does that mean about Jesus to you? He loves you to the same degree. And then he says what? Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled. Look at verse 11. What is wrong with a pastor giving his congregation the word of God in all of its nuances and all of its angles and shapes and sizes? Because he wants your joy to be full. So what's wrong with that? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have the love of you. Now look at that verse 12. To what degree did Jesus show his love for you and I? He sacrificed himself. So how do Christians show their love to each other? Not necessarily by dying for them, but how about a sacrificial love where we go out of our way to show love to other brothers and sisters if it becomes a little inconvenient, if it nubs into my time or on my calendar? Sacrificial love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Wow. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Oh, I got news for you. There are some churches, they don't want to hear that. Ye are my friends if... In my Bible, I circled the word if, because that's a condition. If you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Can you imagine the God of heaven, the creator of the Almighty, whose breath is in the hollow of his hand? He's willing to condescend and call you friend. For all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me. Don't preach that too long in some churches. But I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you have asked of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Twice in this reading, your prayer life is going to be as effective as your abiding with Christ is. These things I command you, that you love one another. Please be seated, but remain open. Wow. Beloved, we learned some things here that I know I didn't learn that while I was going to catechism when I was a Catholic, when I was, you know, prior to being 18 years of age, and I got my confirmation when I was 13. And after confirmation was over, the church never saw me unless I went with my father. He had so many friends that were dying. I went to more funerals than maybe ball games. But I used to go to these funerals and go to the church and all the mumbo jumbo. Everybody that was dead in his life all went to heaven. It's amazing. Men who cursed God somehow at the funeral, they were able to get in. But that's a whole different subject. But how did you feel when you heard when Jesus says, I no longer am going to call you a servant, verse 15, but I'm going to call you my friend. I got news for you. The concept of friendship today is gone. They're saying today that the average person may have maybe one or two or three real close friends that they could depend upon. Question, do you still have those high school friends way back yonder when you graduated high school? Beloved, some of my friends are in the ground. I have no contact with them at all. Once I went in the military, that cord was broken. Even my uncles and aunts, I had over 13, 15 cousins. I wouldn't know where they live even to this day. In many respects, the only close friend I have is my wife. As far as, you know, close friend. Someone that you're around all the time, you know, and you rub shoulders and whatever. But the God of heaven is willing to call you friend. Now, why is that important? Because before salvation, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, that we were the enemies of God. The enemy of God. And conversely, he was our enemy. We were at war. We were at enmity. There was enmity between me and my heavenly creator because of my stupidity in my earlier days. And it's only Christ who comes and bridges that gap between a holy God, which my former life was offensive and odious to him. And in salvation, what happens? There's a transformation. We are adopted into the family of God. John chapter 1, verse 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. He's given them the right to become the sons of God. And upon all those who would call upon his name. So, beloved, remember, at one time we were the avowed enemy of heaven. We were strangers. We were the illegals to his kingdom. And there was no going over the wall to get into heaven. No, no. That was barred. That wall was barred until God the Holy Ghost took the Word of God and performed a miracle within us by quickening us and drawing us to the Savior. Beloved, listen. The God who spoke it all into existence is willing to call you friend. Now, you see the word abide? Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, based on your translation, you're either going to have the word abide or the word continue in your English translation. Here's the good news. It's the same Greek word. It's the same Greek word. And the concept of abiding and continuing, in the Greek concept, it's like you in your home or in your house. You're going to go home pretty soon. You're going to walk into the front door of your home. You're going to either sit down in the easy chair, or maybe Sister Rachel's going to go in the kitchen and do whatever, and Brother Jim's going to do whatever. But you're in the confines of that home that you've established. And then as the day goes on, you might sit together, you might watch a movie together, or you might play a board game together, or you might read your Bibles together, or whatever, or you might even take a nap. What are you doing? Abiding. Abiding. That's the concept in the Greek. To abide with Christ. Now, let me close by sharing with you something I was taught in 1971. There are five ways of you getting this book into your life. It's called the Word Hand. You can read it. That's why I do a lot of reading in church. You can hear it, like in church. Read, hear. Third, you can study. You can study the scriptures. Fourth, you can memorize it, memorize scripture, put it to memory. Maybe some passages that speak very, very dear to you, like John 3:16, for instance. And then you meditate. And when I was shown this, the man that showed me this took his Bible and said, "Brother Bob, put out your hand." And I put out my hand, and he goes, "Just put out your thumb, because all you do is read." And it was a little bit awkward. I couldn't balance it. It's going to fall on the floor. "Okay, Bob, how about since you read it, how about hearing?" So I put the two fingers out. Well, okay. But the devil can do this. So you can read it, you can hear it. Now you study. Whoa, hey. Someone can take it away. You can read it, you can hear it, you can study. Oh, you're going to memorize it. You're going to put your scripture into your heart. Wow, man. Now, Brother Bob, read, hear, study, memorize, meditate. Take it from me. Get the point? You do all five of those. No devil, no demon, and no bozo will ever be able to take that word out of your heart. I learned that in 1971. Still here. I pass it on to you. I taught the church that. Took a whole series of sermons on all those 5 points. Read, hear, study, memorize, meditate. And you put that Bible in there, you got a hold on God. And He has a hold on you all the more. May I encourage you to consider those 5 ways in your Christian experience. Oh, may God choose to bless His word. Amen.